Welcome to Ancient Future Faith with Dr. Chris Alford, pastor of Epiclesis, an ancient future faith community in Sacramento. Just what is ancient future Christian faith? Join Chris each week as he talks with special guests about a refreshing renewal in evangelical worship and spirituality that's helping many believers get in touch with their ancient Christian heritage. Now, with another look at how the road to the evangelical future runs through the ancient past, here's Dr. Chris Alford.
Well, hey, folks, and welcome to the first ever edition of Ancient Future Faith. My name is Chris Alford. I'm the pastor of Epiclesis, an ancient future faith community here in Sacramento. We worship on Sundays at 10:30 in the chapel of the Carmichael Seventh-day Adventist Church. It's at the corner of Winding Way and Pasadena. The address is 4600 Winding Way. Today, I have a very special guest. Her name is Ellen Kohler. We're going to get to Ellen. Hi, Ellen. Welcome.
Hi, Chris.
We're going to get to Ellen in just a minute, but I wanted to take just a minute or two in this first broadcast to tell you a little bit about what I have in mind for this series. We're going to be on every Saturday afternoon at 1 p.m. Hope you'll join us. And want to talk to you about what in the world is ancient future faith. It may be something you've never heard of before. It may be something that you've heard little bits about or read some things on the internet, but I want to talk to you about a wonderful, refreshing wave of renewal that's moving through the evangelical church these days. And it's a way, actually, that isn't very new at all, but it's an ancient way. It's a way that many evangelicals are rediscovering their ancient Christian roots. And at the same time, it's helping them to renew their discipleship, become closer to Christ, hold hands, I like to say, with the brothers and sisters in Christ who have come before us. One of my favorite authors, Thomas Oden, says that the Holy Spirit has a history, and we would do well to see how he has moved in the lives of the saints who have come before us, men and women, going all the way back to the very early church, who have some insights, some wisdom to share with us. And we would be remiss if we didn't drink from that time-tested well of wonderful biblical truth. Another wonderful thing about the ancient church that I hope to be able to impart to you over the next few weeks is that the ancient church, or at least the world that she sat in, is very much like the world that we are living in today. Maybe you've never thought about that before, but there are some very interesting similarities in the way the early church went through life, the way they formed their faith, the way they lived out their faith, walked out their baptisms. And that's another good reason for us to pay some attention to how they hammered out the tenets of the faith, how they lived a life in what was then a very hostile, pluralistic society. So I think we have some things to learn there as well. One of the things that is different about this particular broadcast than others you may hear here on KFIA is that this is not a recording or a playback of Sunday morning teaching at Epiclesis. You can get those, by the way, those recorded teachings on our podcast over on the website. It's epiclesis.org. That's E-P-I-C-L-E-S-I-S.org. Just simply click on podcasts, or you can look us up on iTunes and download or subscribe to our podcast there. What we wanted to do with this radio broadcast is bring in special guests who have some insight into things ancient future when it comes to Christian spirituality and worship, and pick their brains a little bit, get some insights from them, and help flesh out this question of just what is ancient future faith. So, my very first guest on this inaugural edition of Ancient Future Faith is Ellen Kohler. Hi, Ellen.
Hi, Chris.
Welcome.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Ellen, tell us a little bit about yourself. How is it that we know each other? And we work together quite closely, and that's one of the reasons I wanted to have you on this first edition. So,
well, we do indeed work closely together. I have the privilege of being the Director of Music and Liturgy at Epiclesis. And that means that every week I work from the Revised Common Lectionary and take those scriptures that are there for us to use that link us to other churches and believers of like minds over the ages. And we work with those scriptures. We put them into what we call our liturgy. It's not exactly the same liturgy that those who go to liturgical churches might think of as liturgy.
By the way, that's something I'd love to touch on at some point. People hear the word liturgy and automatically assume what? Stuffy, uptight, boring worship. But liturgy actually comes from the Greek word, which means work of the people. So it needn't be necessarily a foreign term.
That's right.
Yeah.
Our worship is very participatory. And so the work of the people applies very much to what we do with our liturgy.
I think so, too.
And our liturgy tells the story of God, the whole story of God, each time that we meet for worship. And then we sing a lot of our service as well. So in a nutshell, that's what I do. We've known each other for a while. We've been working this way since early 2009. And before that, I was a sanctuary musician and accompanist for you.
So how is it that you got introduced to the idea of ancient future faith? And tell us a little bit about how you have incorporated some of the things you've learned along the way, this new, which is actually old, way of thinking about worship and spirituality. How'd you get introduced to that? And tell us a little bit about how you interact with it.
Well, I am a historian by training. I have a PhD in intellectual and cultural history. So that's one of the things that draws me to this way of looking at worship and our relationship with God. But since I was very young, I've also been very interested in the doctrines of the church, the music of the church, the history of the church. And so when I was introduced to ancient future faith through you, it just rang true. And there have been a lot of church experiences in my life where I've learned things that were ancient future and I didn't know them by that term at the time, but loved them. And so when I came to ancient future faith as a way of worship, it just felt like home.
Mm. Well, one of the things I want to try to do over the course of these radio broadcasts, and maybe even especially today, just to kind of set a foundation or at least get our bearings as we pull out our compasses and see what the landscape looks like for the next few weeks, I want to begin to define what in the world ancient future faith is. But it occurred to me as we were talking earlier that I suppose one of the things we need to do necessarily is also at least touch on what ancient future faith isn't. Does that make sense?
Yes, it makes a lot of sense.
Because sometimes when we describe what something is, it's helpful to say what it isn't, particularly when people might be coming at the definition, having heard some things already about it or conflating it with other things that they've seen or heard. So I thought it might be handy to touch just for a few moments on what ancient future faith is not. When I say ancient future faith is not, what's the first thing that comes to your mind?
Ancient future faith is not a denomination.
That's good. Yeah, people may think that Epiclesis is a denominational church of some kind. In our case, we aren't. But we are also linked up with fellowships and churches across the United States and Canada who incorporate ancient future faith tenets and ideas into their worship and discipleship of a variety of denominations. So why is that important?
Well, for one thing, I think ancient future faith is not something you have to join.
Mm.
You're not signing up, you're not learning necessarily a lot of doctrines and rules and regulations and histories of what we are doing because this is what we do as our identity. There are a lot of ways that ancient future faith can be incorporated and embraced in a variety of settings and in a variety of denominational characteristics. And I think that's wonderful because ancient future faith isn't something that's set apart. It's something that applies and is meaningful in many different settings. And lots of churches, I'm hearing lots of little tidbits of news from churches that are embracing ancient future practices.
I said at the outset that ancient future worship and spirituality is a kind of renewal that's blowing through mm-hmm. the evangelical church. Mm-hmm. And like you, I'm hearing from all kinds of different denominational contexts saying, we have rediscovered some of our rich Christian heritage, and we are using that to enliven and energize our discipleship and worship in our church. So you're right, it's not a denomination, and I think people need to understand that while it's not a denomination, it's also not somehow parachurch. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
It does. It's not a parachurch organization. It's not something that you go to, and this is what I do on some part of my Christian life, and then I go to my other services. But ancient future faith is something that encompasses and imparts meaning to our entire spiritual life.
Yeah, it's not some new program. It's not some new manual or discipleship series. It is a rediscovery of the mm-hmm. ancient good that mm-hmm. goes back to the very early church. And again, I think when you start comparing the world of the ancient church with the world we're living in today, you discover that there are a lot of things in common. We live in very similar worlds, and I'm certain that we're going to touch on that at some point. Ellen, what you said just a moment ago reminded me of another point. Ancient Feature Faith is not some sort of formula for worship style. In fact, it's not a worship style at all.
No, it's not a formula. It's not a worship style. I'm reminded that in the past couple of decades, we've seen a lot of churches going for a contemporary worship service and a traditional worship service, some iteration of those kinds of terms. But ancient future faith is not a style that can be pigeonholed because it's not a style at all.
Right. Well, you know, it occurs to me that these days, those terms don't even really mean anything anymore. What's traditional to you may not be to me, and what passes for contemporary music in some places is really not actually contemporaneous at all. So ancient future faith says, you know what? Style doesn't have to be the tail that wags the dog. We can embrace a variety of style. We can use the whole of our church history to inform what we do in worship.
Ancient Future Faith is an approach to worship that looks across church history to appeal to the teaching and what the word of the Holy Spirit is for that particular moment and that particular Sunday, for example.
Mm-hmm. It has a wonderful way of being inclusive, in the best sense of the word, from across the whole of our church history. But I should hasten to add that when we're talking about worship style, folks often immediately think, okay, music. And we should say that ancient future faith is not necessarily, quote, just about worship or just about the music. It's a bigger picture than that, of course.
One of the things that we do in our services, I like to talk about this a lot, is that we do sing a lot of our service. Mm-hmm. We sing settings of confessional prayers. We sing creeds. We sing the Lord's Prayer often. We sing from a variety of time periods, be it traditional hymns or more contemporary songs or even going back to ancient chants. But you're right, ancient future faith is not just about music in worship.
Ellen, I'm also thinking about the way ancient future touches our discipleship and spiritual formation. We are using a variety of wonderful texts, a variety of wonderful resources from even the very early church to inform what we do in, say, discipleship, spiritual formation. My mind first goes to the way that we bring people into the life of the church. My mentor, Bob Weber, was a longtime professor at Wheaton College and then later Northern Seminary. And Bob was probably the first person to coin this notion of ancient future faith. And one of the things he did was to take a look at the life of the very early church, and most especially how people were brought into the life of the church. What did spiritual formation look like in the first few centuries of the church? And what he did was discover that there were several steps involved and put together a wonderful resource that we use at Epiclesis called Journey to Jesus. And there's a way that you can point to say that ancient future faith is not just, quote, about worship or not just about music, but rather it's a holistic way of looking at the whole life of the church, including spiritual formation, bringing people into the life of the church. Do you think that would be an example of one of those things?
I think that's an excellent example. Journey to Jesus has been a wonderful practice in our church for bringing new people who come to us, whether they've known the Lord for a long time or whether they're just new Christians, for bringing them into a way of understanding what it means when they come to the Lord.
Okay, so let's recap just a little bit. We've been talking for the last few moments about what ancient future faith is not, okay? Help me with these. It's not a denomination. Ancient future faith is not some sort of para-church, culty kind of a thing.
Right. It's not a worship style.
No. In fact, it's so much more than, quote, just about music or just about worship. It's not a church growth strategy or program. We've listed what ancient future faith is not. So let's turn our attention and talk for the last few moments about what ancient future faith is. But first, let me remind folks that they're listening to Ancient Future Faith. I'm Pastor Chris Alford. I'm your host. Today, my very special guest is Ellen Kohler, and we are talking about this notion of what in the world is ancient future faith. You can learn more by going to epiclesis.org. That's epiclesis.org. But in the meantime, though, we're hoping that you're going to tune in each Saturday at 1 o'clock right here on KFIA Radio as we unpack this wonderful thing, this treasure that is ancient future Christian faith. So, Ellen, let's sketch out just a few of the things that define ancient future faith. Let's talk about what ancient future faith is. And I think, by the way, it will also give us kind of a roadmap for where we're going over the next few weeks, okay? Ellen, when I say ancient future faith is or ancient future faith does this, what's one of the things that comes to mind first for you?
The first thing that comes to mind is that ancient future faith means that we listen to and learn from the past.
Oh, I think that's really an important one. What do you mean by that? I mean, I think most people would say, well, we appreciate our Christian past. What's the difference with the ancient future faith approach?
Well, it means that we draw upon the whole of church history, not just one period, not just one style, to inform and shape our worship and our faith.
Mm-hmm. We should mention that in the modern world, and we're going to talk about this next Saturday as we unpack this particular point more fully, we should mention that in the modern church, the past was not especially important. And the modern idea is that there's not a lot we can learn from the past because what's really important is what we're doing right now, what we've figured out for now, what works, what will lead us toward our particular goals or whatever we have in mind for the future. You mentioned already that with our worship, we can use the whole of church history to inform what we do in worship. But it's more than just about music and worship, right? So what are some of the ways that we can, in an ancient future faith approach, listen to and learn from the past?
For example, in our small groups, in our discipleship studies, we have had several series where we've looked at the way that our faith has been hammered out. The ancient fathers hammered out the tenets of the faith in the midst of great heresies. And so, for example, in one of our recent studies, we called it The Essentials of Christianity, and we unpacked the Nicene Creed, which came about because of the Arian heresy.
The Arian heresy that said there was a time when Jesus was not. It was this ages-old debate about whether Jesus was divine or human entirely or half and half.
Was he created? Was he, in fact, always God? And out of this heresy and this debate came our essential doctrine of the Trinity. And then the Nicene Creed reflects that. And so we unpacked each one of the phrases in the Nicene Creed, and together with much scripture, our people came away with a much deeper understanding of why we believe that what we believe is true.
Yeah, because if we don't go back and take a look at why we believe what we believe, we are in danger of repeating old heresies again. Okay, so ancient future faith says, you know what, we're going to listen to and learn from the past.
Right, it keeps us grounded.
Okay, another thing that ancient future faith does that I was reminded of while you were speaking is that it says scripture and God's saving acts and deeds are what we're going to use to order our steps and mark our time. That may sound like a no-brainer to most people. Of course we're going to use scripture to mark our time. Of course we're going to look at God's saving acts and deeds and use that to order our steps. What comes to mind when I mention that?
The first thing that comes to mind is that we follow the ancient practice of the Christian year. Mm. The liturgical year is the very traditional way to put that. Along with the discipline of the Common Scripture Lectionary. The Revised Common Lectionary is the collection of readings that we use on which we base and from which we draw the scripture readings that we use every week.
Yeah, and one of the side notes about the Revised Common Lectionary, after you have followed that particular organization of scripture for 3 years, your congregation will have been through most of the entirety of the Bible. Mm-hmm. What a wonderful way to organize and order our steps. The Christian year, and using a common lectionary that has us holding hands, as it were, with a lot of different Christians from a variety of denominational contexts. So here's another thing that ancient future faith does, Ellen, and it's one of my favorites. I think it's incredibly important, and that is that ancient future faith says that we're going to tell the whole story of God. We're not going to just take out a little piece of God's story And we're certainly not going to exclusively look at my place in God's story, but we are going to tell the whole story of God, particularly each time we gather for worship, that God is a marvelous creator, and he created the world good, but humankind fell away from him into sin. He provided a way back to himself through the person and work of Jesus Christ, who was born of a virgin. He lived a sinless life. His work on the cross defeated the powers and principalities. He defeated the enemy, even death itself. He died, was buried, was resurrected. He ascended to the right hand of the Father, and someday he's coming again. That's the whole story of God, and we seek to tell that each time we come together.
Right. In each one of our services, not just in the whole flow across the year or across the seasons, but in each one of our services, we tell the whole story of God.
You know, it also reminds me this. It's a simple thing to say, but I think it's an important one. And that is that focusing on God's story in worship has a wonderful way of orienting us properly.
Mm-hmm.
It puts the emphasis on God, not us.
Right.
It puts the emphasis on his story and our place in it, not our story and his place in it. Okay, so we've talked about listening to and learning from the past, saying that Scripture and God's saving acts and deeds are going to be what order our steps and mark our time. We've talked about telling the whole story of God. As I was talking about the whole story of God, I mentioned this notion of Jesus' work on the cross defeating the powers and principalities. That's a really important facet of ancient future faith. It says that Christ's work on the cross overthrew the powers and principalities, and rewrited an upside-down world. Ellen, back in the garden in the long ago, the enemy beguiled humankind, the pinnacle of God's creation, into exchanging worship of the Creator with worship of the created. One of the things that ancient future faith says is Jesus Christ is victorious over all of the devil's schemes, and he came to rewrite that upside-down orientation.
And because he has done that, our lives can go from an upside-down orientation to a right-side-up orientation, because we have our place in him.
One final thing that ancient future faith says is that worship lifts us up into the ongoing communion between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I think sometimes we think about worship being an act that we do, where we somehow call down God to join us in our particular place, in our particular moment. But ancient future faith reminds us that worship is something where we are lifted up through the power of the Holy Spirit into this ongoing worship that is ever flowing before the throne of God, 24/7, decade, millennium, epic. Mm-hmm. And most especially when we gather at the table, the Holy Spirit lifts us up into that communion between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
I'm reminded of something that you remind us of very often, and that is that our worship is not a calling down. It's not an invoking of God to us, but our worship is within the rhythm of revelation and response.
Yes, God always shows up first. Mm-hmm. He always invites us to the encounter. Well, Ellen, goodness gracious, we've talked today about what ancient future faith isn't, and we've rattled off 4 or 5 points about what ancient future faith is. So we have a lot to cover in the next few weeks. Ellen, I want to thank you for coming today. It's been great having you here. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. It's been wonderful to be here.
And next Saturday, I want us to do this again and start to unpack this first point that we talked about, that ancient future faith says that we listen to and learn from the past. There's a lot to talk about, so I hope folks will tune in next Saturday as we talk again about this marvelous treasure called ancient future Christian faith, and most especially how the road to the future runs through the past.
Thank you for joining us for another look at ancient future faith. There is a refreshing wind of renewal blowing through the evangelical church as more and more worshipers turn for inspiration to the rich language and pattern of the ancient church, and they're rediscovering classic Christianity and learning to draw strength from a deep well of time-tested truth and tradition. Want to experience ancient future faith for yourself? Join us for worship at Epiclesis in Sacramento on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. in the chapel at 4600 Winding Way. You can contact us by calling 916-572-9113 or online at epiclesis.org. That's 916-572-9113, or on the web at epiclesis.org.
Hey folks, Pastor Chris here with a quick word about a small group study we're starting in the new year at Epiclesis. It's called The Good and Beautiful God, Falling in Love with the God Jesus Knows, and it's a great resource for Christians who want to work on discipleship and spiritual formation. Now, you don't have to be a member of Epiclesis to participate, and if you'd like more information or want to check out small group options, find us on the web at epiclesis.org. That's epiclesis.org. The Lord be with you, and see you next Saturday at 1 p.m. for another edition of Ancient Future Faith.